This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا وإمامنا وحبيبنا أبي القاسم محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. I praise Allah Almighty and I send prayers and blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his noble family, righteous companions and all those that follow them with right guidance until the day of judgment. Ameen. Glory be to you, O Allah. No knowledge have we except that which you have taught us. Indeed, you are the all-knowing, the all-wise. My dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hope everyone is doing well today on this fine night. And we continue the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah. And we reached the following ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَعْدَ عَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَلَن تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نصارى حتى تتبع ملتهم قل إن هدى الله هو الهدى ولئن اتبعت أهواءهم بعد الذي جاءك من العلم ما لك من الله من ولي ولا نصير ولن ترضى عنك اليهود ولا النصارى حتى تتبع ملتهم. This is an ayah that you will hear Muslims very often quoting in different scenarios and situations, and this is because of how important it is and how relevant it may be to us. First of all, the basic meaning is that the Jews and the Christians will not be pleased with you until you follow their religion, their ways. This is an address to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, firstly, because it's clear Allah is talking to him. وَلَن تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is telling him first that the Jews and the Christians will not be pleased with you until you follow their religion, till you follow their millah, right? It is possible that the ayah is related to the issue of the changing of the Qibla that is going to happen. We said that the Jews were happy that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was directing himself towards Bayt al-Maqdis for a good while, and for some 16 or 17 months even in Medina he was facing the Qibla of Jerusalem. So they were happy with this. But this is going to change. So will they then not be pleased anymore? Was it sufficient to achieve their pleasure just by following this Qibla? Or is there something more? The whole point of the ayah is that it is highlighting that attaining their pleasure is not possible, except in one situation, one condition. You have to follow them. You have to follow their religion. Otherwise, they will not be pleased. You can do all that you want. You can follow all of the other things that they may advise or suggest, but they will not be pleased until you follow their religion. So it means, no matter what you do, you're not going to attain their pleasure. So therefore, because we know also that some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, things were new now in Medina. This was a different situation than Mecca. Now they're dealing with Ahlul Kitab. And some of the Ansar already have connections with some of the Jews, people of influence. And now these connections, this influence may be affected by the issue of deen. And you know, and I know, the importance of connections in our world today. No matter how professional and how bureaucratic a country or system is, it's all about who you know. Everyone knows this. It's the unspoken rule. Don't tell me, oh no, 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 we are professional and we are this and we are that. It's about who you know. I've seen it all from at all different levels. In all different countries, from the least corrupt and obviously to the most corrupt. It's about who you know. It's of course. So these connections are very important. And they were important then as well. And therefore, when it came to the issue of restricting alliance to the Muslim body, the true wala being to the Muslims and the importance of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was trying to disabuse the Sahaba, some of the Sahaba who had those connections, of the notion. He's disabusing them of the notion that you need these connections, and through these connections you will be able to rise and be able to achieve what you need to achieve. He was telling them, all you need is Allah. Even if, because of now your newfound religion and religiosity and practice, you may lose some of these connections, don't worry. This is essentially what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba. وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. So don't worry about, and therefore don't put too much effort in trying to achieve that pleasure. And for some people, it may go very far. It may go to the level of compromise. Not only trying to attain their pleasure in possibly acceptable ways, it might even go into the realm of the unacceptable. To compromise on one's religion and one's principles just to achieve that pleasure. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them, don't do this. You will not attain it until you follow their religion. Now, it is an address to the Prophet ﷺ, and the Sahaba need to also understand this lesson. Yes, many of the Mufassirin said that it is an address to the Prophet ﷺ, but there is no way that he would do anything like that, because he is the Prophet ﷺ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him the ismah, excuse me, the prophetic infallibility in terms of da'wah. So there's no chance that he would do that. So it must be an address or a lesson to the rest of the ummah. And this is absolutely true. But at the same time, the Quran is replete with examples like this, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, or some of the other prophets, and saying something like this. One may ask, if it was an address to the ummah only, and there's no chance that the Prophet would do that, and we know there isn't a chance, then why is the address coming to the Prophet ﷺ? He could have addressed the ummah. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. And there's plenty of that as well. But there seems to be a hikmah, a wisdom there, wallahu a'lam. When you read those verses, you really fathom and understand the magnificence of Allah and the greatness of Allah. Because no one can talk to a prophet like this other than Allah? We love the Prophet ﷺ to bits, and he is the best of humanity, but in the end, he is the messenger of Allah, he is not Allah. Allah tells him, وَلَن تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَ. And many other examples. Other examples are even more cogent in proving this. Such as when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if he were to change something of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would seize him by the right. Subhanallah. This is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does this have to do with the Ummah? No one can speak to the best of humanity like this except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَن تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. And let the companions and the whole Ummah hear it and heed the lesson as well. Furthermore, when he's telling them that they will not be pleased, he's essentially making them despair of the pleasure of the Jews and the Christians. No matter what you do, they want you to follow their religion. وَلَن تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. In other words, be in despair of this. Subhanallah, it is no coincidence that we seem to identify with this verse possibly a lot more than people of old. So when you look at the tafsir of the previous mufassirin of this ayah, the range of what they're explaining is quite limited because of the situation. Because of the situation of the Muslims, because of the weakness of the Muslims, because of how many Muslims now are doing everything they can to seek the pleasure of the Jews and the Christians. And sometimes bending over backwards and compromising on their principles. Yes, this is a controversial and sensitive subject. And therefore, many of the non-Muslims probably would not like to approach this ayah. This ayah is a little bit difficult. Why? Because it exposes their true nature? Because it's talking about this very sensitive subject? Maybe many of the non-Muslims would like to prove this ayah wrong. Please do. Show us that it is wrong. Will they be pleased or not? Right? Believe it or not, a lot of the Muslims may have an issue with this ayah, or the understanding of the ayah, or they will try to limit the ayah and say, no, this applied then, it doesn't apply now. You say, oh, these are not practicing Muslims, they've left the fold of Islam. No. They're very practicing Muslims as well. And this is what they may think. Yes, brother. There's a lot. I'm not even close to finishing talking about it. So
the Jews, like Christianity, you know, right here, spreading their religion. I mean, which is so common to the Jews.
Okay, well, that's a good question. You're right, the Jews do not proselytize like the Christians. Yes, you are correct. For some obvious reasons, okay? And whether they will accept someone to become a Jew or not, that's in question as well, because their definition of a Jew is someone whose mother is a Jew, right? And to a large extent, they regard their religion more as a race, right? They look at it more as a racial thing than a religious one. Okay, so yes, they do not proselytize as much as the Christians. You're right about that, absolutely. But
have some people accepted the Jewish religion? They have. And their religion or their ways, we may also understand it as their ways, even though the proper meaning is their religion. Millatahum, meaning until you follow their religion. So the Jews are involved in this less than the Christians. Yes, you are correct. Especially nowadays. Okay. So nowadays we can totally see the importance of this ayah. وَلَن تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Because you will find now a lot of Muslims wanting to compromise in their deen because they are seeking that pleasure. That little bit of pleasure. Maybe if I just do this, if I just do that, if I say it this way, if I say it that way, then they'll be pleased, and then they'll support me, and they'll support us, and they'll support our cause, and then we'll be that much stronger, and you can imagine the arguments going till infinity. And then we remember, وَلَن تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. It's not about that. It's until you follow their religion. One may say, as in the other ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they will keep fighting against you. Until what? Until they get you to apostatize from your religion. To leave your religion. This is an earlier step. Okay, it's a very big benefit if you leave your religion, right? If you would just disbelieve, become an atheist, leave your Islam. But if you want pleasure, no, you have to go another step forward. You have to accept their religion. You have to accept Christ. Right? It's not enough to just leave Islam. No, you have to accept Christ. But I accept Jesus, peace be upon him. I love Jesus, peace be upon him. We all love Jesus, peace be upon him. And just like protests happened all around the Muslim world when they insulted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the same would happen if you insulted Jesus, peace be upon him. The Muslims would protest. Because this is unacceptable to us. Because he is one of the greatest messengers of Allah. May Allah's peace be upon them all. We accept him. So, will you now accept? Will you now be pleased? No. You have to accept him as Christ and Savior and worship him. That's all they will accept. حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. It's all about that. So it is not enough. Even though there is so much in common between us and the Christians and the Jews. Is there not things in common between us and the Jews? Yes, there is. There are. Even though their monotheism is tainted by all kinds of ideological corruption, anthropomorphism and other things, but they claim to be monotheists and that they only worship one God. Of course, albeit with a racial conception of God and a very exclusive God, unfortunately, but they claim monotheism and we claim to be monotheists. And there are other issues as well. And you might have seen some of the Jews when they pray as well. And they pray and they put their right hand over their left. There are things in common. Despite all their terrorism and persecution and crimes that they are committing in the Holy Land now. But there are commonalities between us and the Jews and the Christians. But they will not be pleased until you follow their religion. What else do we benefit and understand from this ayah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us it's always about the religion. This is a very interesting point. They will not be pleased with you until you follow their millah, their religion. So it's not only about interests. It's not only about the economics and the politics and so many other things that people talk about today. Resources, yeah? Bilateral trade agreements. Ultimate pleasure until you follow their religion. Sayyid Qutb said, it is the perennial complex. It is the issue of aqidah, nothing else. All of these other things, they could be, sometimes they are issues, but the ultimate issue, if you seek their pleasure, you have to follow their millah. You have to follow them. But we are signatories to the United Nations, and we accepted this and we accepted that, and we permitted this and we permitted that, because this is what they said we should do, and we secularized this and we secularized that. And not only that, we are changing the Quran as well. We are playing with the Quran. We are deleting verses of the Quran. Not from the Quran proper, because then immediately everyone will realize a person who does this has left the fold of Islam. But we'll not mention those ayahs. We'll not mention this ayah that I'm talking about today. No need to always say, mention it and read it in the salah. وَلَن تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى, because this seems to be contradictory to the purpose of religious harmony or coexistence. But again, Allah is telling us about a truth that has manifested itself throughout the centuries. As I told you, the Mufassirin, some of the more recent Mufassirin had more to say. So you look at someone like Rashid Rida in Tafsir al-Manar. He made this one of the rules and laws that he deduced from Surah Al-Baqarah. So he deduced some 33 rules or laws from Surah Al-Baqarah. One of them was this: وَلَن تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَ. This is a rule or a law to understand. And of course he noticed in his time how the leaders of many Muslim nations did everything they can to please the Jews and the Christians. And yet they were not pleased, because it is until you follow their religion. Because religion is always a factor, brothers and sisters. And believe it or not, this is one of the things that Samuel Huntington got right in The Clash of Civilizations. Yes, he got a lot of things wrong, but something he got right was this, and that is, religion is always a consideration. Don't let anyone fool you and tell you, no, 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 we don't talk about religion. It is just dry politics. State interests only, nothing else. No. He tells you, religion and culture and civilizational factors are always there. And they are important. And we see that over and over. One of the controversial issues, seemingly a purely political one, everyone knows that Turkey has been trying for very long, or Turkey, we should say, has been trying very long to become a member in the European Union. What's the problem? Why aren't they being accepted? They have fulfilled so many of the conditions that the EU required. Why are they still not part of it? So you might say, oh, but you know, we are biased. You are just saying that it is this, but It seems to be to a large extent. وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Turkey is still considered a Muslim nation. And Turkey and the specter of something called the Ottoman Empire and the Ottoman state that ruled for some over 600 years. This is something that they still see in front of them. How can we now admit them into the European Union? These are not my words. These are the words of former Prime Minister and former Foreign Minister and recent presidential candidate, Ahmed Davud Oghlu. In an article he wrote decades ago, he talked about these things. This promise that they have never delivered on. He said the reason is some of these factors, these religious factors, it's not only about dry politics. In our day, everything is secularized, right? Economics is economics, politics is politics. Don't bring Allah into it, they tell you. تَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا يَقُولُونَ عُلُوًّا كَبِيرًا. They say God is dead. There is no God in politics and God in economics. No, God is there. وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. They will not be pleased until you follow their religion. It tells you the importance of this factor. It will always be there. Yes, it may increase and decrease. They're trying as much as possible to remove those considerations now, but they still exist. In the past, it was, as they say, عيني عينك. So there will be some letters, political correspondence between leaders, and they will immediately and in that letter call that person to their religion. Okay, whether it's the Pope or someone else, this was common. So now it seems less, or it's a little bit more concealed and hidden, but it is there. Those factors are always there. Look at the issue of Palestine now. Subhanallah. Look at all kinds of compromises that Palestinians gave, Palestinian leadership gave, hoping that finally they will achieve, quote unquote, peace, right? Hoping that finally there will be peace in the Holy Land. One compromise after another. And in the end, they're at a dead end. They will not be pleased. So it applies politically as well. وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. What will please you? 100,000 dead? There are already over 100,000 casualties in this war amongst dead and injured. Will you be pleased if it is 100,000? Then we can agree. Then we can move forward. Then you can do something, then you'll call it genocide. Of course, on an individual level, you have scores of Muslims, imams, religious leaders, who may have compromised on things. It's not easy. There's a lot of pressure, especially in non-Muslim countries. Especially when you are being introduced as imam so-and-so. Oh, this person is different. This person is about religious harmony and coexistence. They don't go for these types of ideas and these types of verses. Looking for common ground. Looking for common ground is very nice. The Quran is the one that called. Ahlul Kitab. Ta'alaw ila kalimatin sawa. Come. Let us find common ground. Common ground is very nice. Compromise is something else. We will not compromise on our principles. But many of them have. Seeking the pleasure, Allah is telling us, they will not be pleased. Understand. وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنُوا فَيُدْهِنُونَ. They would love that you compromise so that they would compromise. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. Say, oh you disbelievers, I do not worship what you worship and you do not worship what I worship, and so on. What did they want? Worship our God one day and we will worship yours the next. Come to our religion. This is their religion. This is acceptable to them. That's why, وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. What are they following? Are they following their religion or are they following desires? Are they following their adulteration of their books and of their religion? Not the original. The corrupted version, the desires, the additions and the deletions. Follow that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, leave those who took their religion as play and amusement. So in other words, follow our religion. Look at religion the way we do. Why are you so restrictive and strict in your religion? Just, you know, take it easy, as we have. I asked this question straight up when I was visiting a Christian school in the US. So they had a nice big picture of Mary, of course, and how do you know how Mary looks? But anyway, she was covered in her hijab. So I said, she's covered. How come, you know, none of the students here are covered as well? This is Mary, the mother of Jesus, peace be upon him. So what are they going to say? Oh, our scholars, you know, said that, no, this is then, this is now. Arguments like that, right? Is this taking your religion with strength? Taking your book with strength? خُذِ الْكِتَابَ بِقُوَّةٍ. No. So follow us. Look at religion the way we do. حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. This is what is required. وَلَن تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Someone might say, however, in retort, what, Sheikh, what is wrong with trying to get the message across in the best way? Finding that common ground. They are always hearing, you know, the most evil things about Islam because of the negative propaganda and the media, absolutely. So we just want to show them the best side of Islam and attract them and this and that, right? There's nothing wrong with that. This is beautiful. Do da'wah in the best way, with wisdom and good speech. Show them the amazing Islam that they don't know about, that is completely maligned in the media. Do all of that, but never compromise. Be clear. Be honest. And by the way, only then will they respect you. Because if you become wishy-washy in your deen, they will not respect that. You think, oh no, I'm doing it to please them, and Allah is telling you, they will not be pleased. And many of them will see through it and they will say, you are a liar. This is not what your deen says. Look at ayah so and so. Look at this, look at that. Yes? Never compromise. So the problem is not in showing how beautiful Islam is and doing da'wah in the best way. The problem is with people who have that deep want and need to attain their pleasure. And Allah is telling you, you will not gain it until you follow their religion. Until you apostatize, you leave Islam, and then you become a Jew or a Christian, then they will be pleased. And by then you have lost your dunya and your akhirah. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. So this ayah, subhanAllah, it's one of those laws. Again, they will say, but look now. Look at the millions supporting the Palestinian cause. The country that went to the ICJ is not an Arab or a Muslim country. right? South Africa. Many of the Jews are supporting the Palestinian cause. So many came out in the West, not in our name. So, وَلَن تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى. Does this contradict the ayah? Absolutely not. This is a law for the centuries. This is going to go on until the Day of Judgment. The ratio of those who support or don't support, this is going to go up and down. This may fluctuate. If there are some now, yes, many did come out, but look at the millions who are perpetrating this violence in Palestine and support it. No, those are the Israelis. Yes, but they are Jews as well, right? They are Jewish Israelis. So there is no contradiction. Don't be confused. If some support the cause, then how do I understand? وَلَن تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you in general that this is the rule, this is the law. You will have to follow their religion. حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ قُلْ إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى. This is your answer. The guidance of Allah is the true guidance. This is the guidance. You might say, he didn't say Islam. Yes, because it is clear. Hudallah is a reference here to the religion of Islam. قُلْ إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى. In other words, there is no other guidance. This is the only guidance that is acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is the final sharia, it is the final testament. قُلْ إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى. In other words, this is the only thing that I will stick to. I will never ever leave my religion. It reminds us of the reply of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas to his mother, radiallahu anh. You know the story? How many know the story? Just to kind of understand where people are at. Just to get an idea, raise your hand, don't be shy, don't be modest. You know the story of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas and his mother? Raise your hand. No, not many? Subhanallah. So she was trying to force him into disbelief. And she said to him, I'm going to starve myself until I die. Until you come back to the religion of your forefathers. And then people will mock you and despise you as the one who killed his mother because of his religion. And he loved his mother and he respected his mother. And he pleaded with her not to do that. And when he saw that he couldn't convince her, so he said to her something that eventually persuaded her to leave such a ridiculous idea. He said to her, Wallahi, my dear mother, if you had 100 souls and every one were to be taken, I would never leave my religion. So she understood, this boy is never going to leave his religion. Okay? Again, with respect. But this is deen. This is no joke. I don't compromise for anyone. I don't do it to seek anyone's pleasure. Not even an iota of pleasure. حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ قُلْ إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى. The guidance of Allah. The huda of Allah is the huda. وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. If now, in the case that, God forbid, if you were to follow their ahwa, very interesting, he didn't say, if you were to follow their millah. Even though he just mentioned it here, حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. He didn't say, وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. Because that's all it is. Their millah is ahwa. Just the desires, all of the corruption of their millah, not the original millah. If it was the original millah, we would not differ on anything. It is the ahwa. It is the Jews that we read about hiding the verses, concealing, completely concealing the verses, or playing around with the interpretation of the verses, the additions and the deletions of verses that we saw also with the Christians. The ahwa. If you were to follow their ahwa. Furthermore, everything else that we see today, the secularization of religion, all ahwa, my dear brothers and sisters, all of the things that we as a Muslim ummah are expected to sign off on, ahwa. Today it's one thing, tomorrow it's another. Today it's halal, tomorrow it's haram. Ahwa. What was impermissible to them just a few decades ago is completely permissible now. Not only permissible, everyone has to sign on. Ahwa. وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. These are just vain desires playing around. Secularization, brothers and sisters, I don't know if I told you before. Subhanallah, in many of the books I've read, for objective Western scholars, objective ones, not ones who are against Islam, no. Beautiful books about Islam, praising Islam from the beginning of the book to the end. But in the very end, most of the time, there is that caveat. What is it? You have to secularize. You cannot continue like this. In one form or another, you have to somehow adapt to the times, and that is to secularize. You cannot continue practicing Islam that way, in that way. وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ بَعَدَ الَّذِي جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. The worst part is to follow those vain desires after having received knowledge. وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ بَعَدَ الَّذِي جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. After having received knowledge, after having understood and believed and had that firm conviction in what you have, then following them and following their millah, مَا لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. Then you will not have a protector or a helper. Allahu Akbar. Again, he's talking to the Prophet ﷺ, and the whole ummah should understand this very important lesson. Remember what we said before about the connections, about the influence. A lot of them thought this is the way to strength. And now, if we cut these ties, what's going to happen to us? Allah is teaching them. Allah is your helper. Allah is your wali. Allah is your protector. Allah is the one who will bring about what you desire. Allah is the one who's going to support and help you. But if you follow their vain desires after whatever knowledge has come to you, then you will not have that protector or that helper or supporter. You will lose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's teaching them that very important lesson. Even if everyone leaves you, how important is that today, subhanallah? Especially when we are at our weakest, and it seems everyone else has all the material strength. So you will find we are just compromising and following and everything, right? Allah is telling us, beware, if you follow their millah, then you will not have a protector or a supporter. Interesting fiqh tidbit. He said, وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. So he's talking about the Jews and the Christians, but he talked about one millah, their millah. And maybe you have heard the statement many times, الْكُفْرُ مِلَّةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. Kufr is one millah. It is all one. Even though there are many different religions, But subhanAllah, we have seen time and time again, and history has shown this as well, that in many situations, yes, it seemed like everyone else would come and join forces all against, in alliance against the Muslims and Islam. That this belief is all one millah. The fuqaha of the Ahnaf and the Shafi'iyya and some of the Hanabila also, actually based on this ayah, concluded that technically they are one millah. They belong to one millah. How would this manifest itself from a fiqh standpoint? It's not really applicable now, but in a time when Muslims, subhanAllah, were at the top of the civilizational ladder, they were then judges for the Jews and the Christians and maybe people of other faiths. So they would come to the Muslims to judge between them. Now it's the opposite, it seems. But that's how it was. So the Muslims would judge. So if there was a Jew who was married to a Christian or an atheist or a Buddhist or vice versa, two people married from two different religions and one of them dies, would the husband inherit the wife or the wife inherit the husband? According to their opinion, they are from one millah, millah wahida, so they can inherit. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that the people of different millahs do not inherit from one another. So if it was the case where there were two disbelievers, they're non-Muslims, the Muslim is now judging, right, doing the hukum, they are one millah, according to this opinion, so they would inherit from one another. Yes, it seems very distant and not something that would be applicable, but subhanAllah, this is something the fuqaha mentioned. I intended to start the next ayah, but this ayah, subhanAllah, you can just keep talking about it. And I'm sure you have a lot going on in your heads now as well. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد